is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Central Asia, the stand, so-called, during the Afghanistan conflict. However, articulation is required because it isn't just the United States that has to learn about the stands. These are ancient civilizations, ancient city-states, going back 3,000 or 4,000 years, contemporary city-states with those in Egypt and the Nile River Valley. And yet, here we are with very little information in America or in the West about Central Asia, which is why I welcome Ekaterina Zolotova for Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. She's in Moscow, writing about Central Asia, once upon a time part of the Soviet Empire, now independent sovereign states that are energy rich and of great interest to Turkey. I learned from Ekaterina that President Erdogan, a very strong leader in Asia Minor, visiting Tashkent and Astana in the same week for different events, but in any event, indicating that Turkey is knocking at the door of Central Asia. Why, and what are the prospects? Ekaterina, a very good evening to you. First, because you're in Moscow, the relationship between Moscow and Ankara, between Moscow and Istanbul, is a storied relationship. That's a word we use when we don't want to say controversial or mysterious. We say storied. Today, how would you characterize Moscow's opinion of Erdogan and watching Erdogan make these trips to Central Asia? What is the opinion in the Kremlin? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you for the question. Well, the relations of Russia and Turkey, they move from period of some unfriendly relations to period of friendly relations. To this moment, Russia is observing very carefully how Turkey is moving towards the areas where Russia has the influence or had the influence previously in the former Soviet area. Russia is very carefully looking for Turkish behavior in Azerbaijan, and we discussed it many times, of course. And right now, of course, Russia is observing the Turkish move to the Central Asia. To this moment, Russia doesn't consider it as a very significant competitor. Would like to say that maybe it is more worried about China, as China has a lot of investments and a lot of potential that it would like to suggest to Central Asia. But at the same time, Russia starts to consider Turkey as one of the potential player in this great game of the Central Asia.
These last decades in reporting about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, Turkey is always in the conversation. And my understanding, at some point early in the 21st century, Turkey was so completely frustrated by its application to the EU that it just withdrew. It withdrew inside itself and didn't have a clear path forward. You report now that Turkey no longer just frustrated about the EU's refusal or hesitancy or reluctance, is turning to the East. The East would be Tashkent and Astana. What does Turkey see as its prospects in the East? Is it welcome?
Well, first of all, we need to understand the position of Turkey. Turkey is an exporting country, and right now the condition of Turkish economy is not very stable. The exchange rate is still very unstable, and the inflation is still very high. And the economy would like to have more investments and would like to see more money coming from export. With the frustration with the European Union, Turkey would like to have another market in order to continue to export and in order to continue to provide its influence as it wants to become a regional power. In the case of the European Union, Turkey, of course, has very developed relations, and the European Union right now is one of the major partners for Turkey. But unfortunately, Turkey would like to see something more, so it would like to see more cooperation within the European Union. It doesn't get what it wants, so it's turning to in other countries that would have a potential interest for Turkish products, for example, and at the same time, some countries that could provide Turkey the resources. Turkey would like to buy the resources for its own purpose, for its own usage. And at the same time, it would like to be the energy hub in order to continue to export to Europe as well. Central Asian countries, in fact, they could provide both of this. The population of Central Asian countries is growing continuously. This is a very unsaturated market. Plus, we don't need to forget that it is very close to the Russian Federation. So potentially a lot of goods that are delivered to the Central Asia or produced in Central Asia could be used not only by Central Asian people, but also Russia as well. And at the same time, Central Asia, especially Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan, could provide the resources. Kazakhstan is the source of oil, and Turkmenistan is potential source of gas. This could help Turkey to increase its position as the energy hub, potentially, and to become the regional power and regional leader, as its imperative is.
The trade route. You report that Turkey has ambition for what is called the Middle Corridor. Uzbekistan will be part of that. Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and I've left one out, but then we have the South Caucasus as well. Turkmenistan, and all of these, this central corridor, is that in cooperation with China and Russia, or is that quite separate? How does Turkey think of it?
Well, Turkey would like to become the transit area that would supply the goods from China to European Union and vice versa, from the European Union to China. Of course, this corridor is designed bypassing the Russian Federation. But in fact, as I understand, Russia is constantly considering this corridor. And I've also mentioned that Russia sometimes is trying to suggest some projects or some cooperation within different companies with the investments and so on. The Russian railway company is very active in that area. And of course, it has a very great experience in construction of railway roads in different conditions. We just need to remember the Russian weather and the Russian relief in order to understand that it's really hard, and Russia has a lot of experience in this. So Russia is trying to be there anyhow, and it's trying to provide the best options for these corridor. Plus, Russia is suggesting other corridors as well. For example, there is another one, and I'm speaking about North-South corridor that goes from Russia. It's passing the Azerbaijani Republic, Caspian Sea, Iran, and then it goes to India. So it's the combination of different ways. And, of course, Turkey itself, it's also thinking about other corridors. I think that recently it was discussing a corridor together with Uzbekistan and Iran without participation of China and Russia. So right now, this region is full of different projects and full of different discussions of the new corridors. But there, of course, there are some constraints. First of all, it's finance. The investments, and of course, the timing. The construction of the corridors, it's a very long process, and it requires a lot of investments and a lot of attention from all the countries. So it's not something that will bring a competitive advantage to Turkey and this region very soon. I mean, in a very short period of time.
Quickly, we have a minute. Russia is diverted, and Iran is diverted by the wars in Ukraine and Gaza right now. Turkey has been principal in helping Azerbaijan in its recovery of Nagorno-Karabakh. Is Turkish military going to spread throughout Eurasia? Are they offering security to Eurasia? We have a minute.
In fact, Turkey is not ready to provide the full security to Central Asia, like Russia is doing, for example. But anyhow, they are increasing the cooperation with Central Asian military sector. For example, Turkey is going to construct several ships for Kazakhstan, for the Caspian Sea. In the previous years, we saw some projects and the deliveries of Turkish drones, for example, to Kyrgyz army. So Turkey is definitely increasing its position and its presence in this area, but very slowly.
Ekaterina Zolotova for Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. She's in Moscow talking about Turkey's ambition in Central Asia, a rich and a very promising part of the planet for the 21st century. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.